The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
From the Liberty University Broadcast Studio, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Pod Stars.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, hello, America. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. Folks, we have a blockbuster show for you today. A lot going on across the Fruited Plain, and we are so glad that you decided to spend the next 3 hours of your day hanging out with us on our radio front porch. Ted Nugent is here. He's going to be on the program a little bit later. Our good friend Alan West and Trish Regan. At very rarely, though, do we start the show off with a guest. As a matter of fact, I don't believe this has happened in the history of the radio program. But over the past couple of days, we've been talking about these two American citizens engaging in their Second Amendment rights to protect their home in St. Louis. And the McCloskey family has come under fierce attack by the mainstream media and by the leftists out there, including the anti-gun crowd. Last night, Mr. McCloskey, Mark McCloskey, was on Fox News Channel with Tucker Carlson, also CNN, the most profane name in news. Fredo, Chris Cuomo, was interviewing Mr. McCloskey, and I want you to hear a portion of that interview.
It's about what we want right and wrong about how we treat each other. And that's why the president retweeted this tweet. Mr. Watkins, you know it. And Mr. McCloskey, you know it. He retweeted it because he liked the image of white resistance to this movement. And I'm not saying that was fair to you, but we know that's why he did it, because that's why he deleted it. I wanted you to speak for yourself.
I'm glad you're a mind reader, because no one else thinks you are.
Well played. On the Liberty University Newsmaker line right now from St. Louis, that man, Mark McCloskey. Mr. McCloskey, what an honor to have you on our program today.
Thank you. It's an honor to be on your program.
So look, you know, we were talking about this yesterday. We're a conservative news program. I have no idea what your politics are, because politics is not the issue here. This is about being an American citizen. This is about constitutional rights. And I want you to, you know, spend the next few moments taking our listeners through what happened in your neighborhood when those protesters stormed the gates.
All right. I'll kind of lay out the picture for you. Our neighborhood is it's called a private place. St. Louis is kind of unique in that a lot of the old neighborhoods that were developed in the turn of the last century were built on private property, where the streets and the sidewalks and the utilities are all owned by the homeowners. Portland Place is such a place. Portland Place abuts a major north-south thoroughfare called King's Highway, which separates Portland and a couple other private neighborhoods from what's called the Central West End in St. Louis, which is an entertainment and dining district. It is a popular place to stage what is called protests these days. And there was one scheduled for last Friday by a group called Expect Us. Well, we got a heads up from our trustees that we could expect some trouble, but then Expect Us called it off. And so we went about our lives, and then Sunday afternoon, my wife and I come home, and my daughter was coming in from Chicago, and we were going to have dinner out on our east side of the house in the patio, which is an open patio facing Portland Place Drive on the south and King's Highway on the east. As we're sitting down, the crowd forms down about 300 feet away at the corner of Maryland Avenue and King's Highway, and then starts marching north. And it gets louder and louder and louder. And then all of a sudden, people start appearing outside our gate. And mind you, this is all private property. It's got a sign right there that says, private road, residents only. Other signs says no trespassing. We look up at the gate, and there's no police. Our private security has disappeared, and all of a sudden, the gate bursts open, and people just flood in. And I'm not talking one or two or three or five. but seemingly all the human beings in the Western Hemisphere. Literally, I think we spoke with an embedded policeman from the crowd who said he estimated it at 300. Stormed through the gates right at us. You have to visualize this, since this is radio, but that gate is probably 70 feet from where I'm having dinner. By the time we get to our feet and grab a rifle, that crowd is now 20 or 30 feet separating me from them. And I got up on the wing of the stone on the edge of my patio, and I said, "This is private property. Go back. You cannot be in here. This is private property. Go back." They kept advancing. Then I got angry, and I said, "This is private property, and this is all, you know, the stuff that you see on the news, because they only play the bad stuff, I guess. Get the hell out of my community," or words to that effect. By this time, I've got my rifle in my hand, and they stop, okay? And then all of a sudden, I see my wife, who I thought was behind me, now out in front of me, in the front yard. She had already called 911 to no avail by that time, but she shows up in the front yard with a pistol in her hand. And I'm thinking, oh, holy, you know what? If they start to surround her, what the heck am I supposed to do? I can't get off, for example, a clean shot if she's in the middle of the crowd, so then I have to go out in the front yard. Now we're surrounded. Now there's all these people in front of us screaming at us, cursing at us, threatening our lives, telling us they're going to burn down the house, telling us after they murder us what rooms of the house, pointing to the windows and telling us what room, this would be my bedroom, this would be my bathroom, that's where I'm going to be taking my bath, all that kind of stuff, okay? One guy wearing body armor pulls out two loaded pistol magazines, showing me that they're loaded. Let me jump in here real quick,
Mark, because they're telling us, oh, this was a peaceful protest. They were singing songs and just marching peacefully. You're telling me that's not the case.
Well, the peaceful part of the protest ended when they broke down the gates and entered, trespassed on personal property. There's no public in there, and they were not singing Kumbaya. The leader of this entity, this Expect Us, was on television saying, "I don't want to have a peaceful protest." He said, "We want to be as disruptive as possible." He was interviewed on local press after this event saying, "Yes, we knew it's private property, but just like in the 60s, you have to break the law to make your point." These people are intentionally violating our rights. They're intentionally storming in. They try to make it a racist thing, and I got a call right before you called in calling me a racist. But I got to tell you, when that horde of people broke through the gate and came at me, I made no note whatsoever what their race was. I was scared to death.
You know, I'd be willing to bet that the people that did have guns were, in fact, whites, because there were a lot of white people in those crowds, and a lot of the people engaging in this violence at the Black Lives Matter protest are, in fact, white people. So I'm not sure why they're trying to make this a racial issue.
It befuddles me. And by the way, the crowd eventually, although the press always reports this as they're making their way to Mayor Lida Cruson's house, well, you can't get to Lida Cruson's house through Portland Place because you have to first break down the gate at our end, go a half a mile down the road, make a right, break down the gate at the other end to get out, and then cross back over to where she lives. She's three blocks north and a half a mile west of where we are. So it's not a shortcut to Lida's house. It could only have been an intentional desire to commit some, you know, civil disobedience, which wasn't that civil, I might add.
No, but to the point, though, the good news here is, thanks to the fact that you and your wife were armed, engaging in your Second Amendment rights, your home and property were not vandalized, you were not looted, and the house did not burn down.
Well, you know, Chris Cuomo last night trying to get me by saying, "Well, you weren't harmed, were you?" And I said, "Well, heck yes, I was harmed. I was scared to death." "Well, they didn't come into your house, did they?" "Well, no, but that's what guns are for, right?"
It's a fair point. Yeah, I want to get your take on that, because Cuomo was trying to insinuate that you were a racist, that the reason why the president shared the picture is because this whole idea of white resistance.
Yeah, you know, if I'd had a DNA kit, and I could absolutely determine that everybody who is coming through that gate had exclusively European ancestry, I'd have done the exact same thing.
No, I hear you, Mr. McCloskey. And again, these are important details because, again, you're talking about a private, exclusive, gated community. Now, it's my understanding even the sidewalks and the streets are owned by the residents. So this is not; those were not public streets. Is that accurate?
Absolutely correct. The street, the sidewalks, the street lights, everything is owned by the residents. There's 43 of us that we pay for everything. We pay for the streets. We pay for the sidewalks. We pay for the light. We pay for everything. And in fact, we pay. Everybody pays their property taxes from the back wall to the center line of the median. So we own 100% of it.
So, I'm just curious. You're a hardworking taxpayer. Clearly, you've been very successful in your career. Beautiful home you have there.
Thank you.
The police, they didn't bother to show up. You'd think somebody would have notified the police that there was a mob of 300 people about to storm into a gated community.
Yeah, and we called. But I've said this to every interviewer, and interestingly, this aspect of it has never made it into the news. I have nothing but the greatest respect for the St. Louis Metropolitan Police Department, but they're understaffed, overwhelmed, and overworked, and they've got to be everywhere. St. Louis is not a big city, you have to remember. The city of St. Louis is about 300,000 people. It's split about 50-50 racially, but our police, there's such a large amount of crime in the city of St. Louis, so many shootings every night, so many murders every night, and if the police had, I don't know how they can deal with the background level of violence and crime, let alone trying to handle riots on top of it.
I'm curious. There's been a lot of anger directed at you by some leaders there. We understand that there's an investigation. Have the police been in touch with you? Any investigators been in touch with you or your wife?
We were interviewed three different times, I guess, twice when I was at the house. Then I got some threats against my business on email and phone calls, so I had to come over here to my office, which is about three blocks away. It's a three-story Victorian home that we use as an office building, to have it boarded up. And by the time I got back home at about 2:30 in the morning, my wife said a third officer had come and interviewed her. But to my knowledge, that the police report is very clear about that we were the victims and that we were assaulted by the mob.
Your reaction, though, to the what would be the equivalent of the district attorney being outraged at you guys instead of the people who actually broke the law?
Well, and I heard her on the news last night, and she's saying that she's, anybody who violates the law. Well, there have been on the web hundreds of people admitting that they violated the law by trespassing and coming in front of my house and threatening me and screaming, one of whom said that he was worried that my wife may have accidentally put off a shot, and then they would have all drawn out their weapons, and it would have been a bloodbath, okay? By the time this crowd got down to Lida Cruson's house, our mayor, one of the local Channel 5 reporters who had private security with her, was confronted by a man with an AK-47 rifle. Her security had to draw his weapon. There was a standoff, and then the Channel 5 reporter had to flee. Okay, that's how non-dangerous this situation was.
Well, it seems to me, whether or not it was a peaceful protest, when they broke down that gate, at that moment, it became a criminal protest, in my estimation.
There's no question about it. The second they made the decision to break down the gate and come in, any pretense of peacefulness disappeared. And I don't know what the new definition of peace is, but if you've got 300 people screaming at the top of their lungs, people ask me, what were they saying to you? I don't know. There were some that were making direct threats to me, but mostly it was just screaming, everybody screaming different things. And as I said yesterday, and I'll say it for the rest of my life, there's no reason to protest Portland Place. Portland Place is one of the most liberal, left-leaning communities that I've ever seen. I'm kind of the lone conservative-leaning gentleman in the neighborhood. And yet what I do for a living is I represent the downtrodden. I represent the people with disabilities and having a hard life and having a hard time making their miracle happen. I represent people in civil rights cases against the police where there's been legitimately excessive use of police force. As I said yesterday, and we're getting calls from them all day today, my African-American clients love us. We work our tails off to protect their rights. To claim that there is some legitimate reason to protest on Portland Place is ridiculous.
Wow.
And I'll say one more thing, if you give me
sure.
the time. That's this. This protest was organized by this entity called Expect Us for the expressed purpose of asking the mayor to resign for disclosing the personal information of people who had proposed defunding the police. these people who are allegedly creating this protest to ask the mayor to resign for disclosing private information have now disclosed my private information to the entire world, to where I've had to turn off my cell phone, turn off my office phones the last 2 days, and take down my internet site, basically putting me out of business. And you think it might be a little hypocritical to ask the mayor to resign for disclosing a couple of protesters' names while at the same time disclosing me to the world and trying and overtly and directly stating that their goal is to put me out of business and to destroy my career.
Mr. McCloskey, we're going to have to leave it there. The clock is against us here. Thank you for coming on the show. You've got millions of Americans around this country that are supporting you and your wife, and you guys are great Americans. God bless you, sir.
Thank you, and God bless you.
All right, folks, so we do have to take a quick break here. Wow, what a story. You heard him on Tucker Carlson last night, Chris Cuomo, and now the first radio interview he has done nationally, Mark McCloskey on the Todd Stearns Radio Show. 844-747-8868, our toll-free number. Did the guy do anything wrong here? Did the guy's wife do anything wrong? 844-747-8868. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Todd Stearns.
And on the Facebook live stream, Todd, those brave people, they did exactly what they should have done against an angry mob breaking into their property. They stood their ground and protected themselves and their property. Good for them. I'm with you. I'm with you, Jacqueline. And by the way, in case you missed the opening of the show, normally we do not do the interviews right out of the gate. I normally have some sort of a monologue, and we set the stage for the rest of the show. But we found out late this morning that Mark McCloskey, the homeowner, the brave homeowner in St. Louis who fended off the raging mob with an AR-15 on the front lawn of his home, was able to come on the show. He just said, okay, whenever we can get him on, let's get him on. So there you go. But if you missed the interview, we will have that available on the podcast, which you can get immediately after the show. Go to ToddStearns.com right now. And if you subscribe right now, you will get that podcast sent to you automatically at the end of the show. 844-747-8868 is our toll-free number. That's 844-747-8868. Now, a couple of news nuggets out of that interview with Mr. McCloskey. He says that the police have been investigating this. They've gone through at least three interviews, and it looks as though the police are declaring the McCloskeys to be victims here. But the prosecutor, who is a far leftist, she is enraged that these homeowners would defend their property, and it looks like she's going to try to go after these two. And we're going to stay all over this story because this could have happened anywhere in America. We're talking about St. Louis, Missouri. We're not talking about Berkeley or Brooklyn or Chicago. We're talking about the heartland of America. And again, I hear what he said about the police officers, and we love law enforcement on this program. And the police can only do what the police are going to do. And we don't know if they were told to stand down. We don't know the circumstances. But I can tell you this. As soon as that gate was breached, it stopped being a peaceful protest. My question is, how come all of those people were not arrested? Why didn't we see 300 people being hauled off in the paddy wagons? That's what I want to know. 844-747-8868. Toll free number. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stearns Show. We're doing what we can to prepare for the upcoming visit of Ted Nugent to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. That's going to happen in the 1 o'clock hour of the show. Trish Regan, Alan West is going to be here. Also, Spencer Brown with a very interesting story about American patriotism. We've got to get to the breaking news in Seattle, but this is a fascinating survey. Just came out today, their 2020 Youth Patriotism Index. And this is fascinating. According to the Young Americas Foundation, 66% of high school students believe America is exceptional. 66% of American high school students believe America is exceptional. Are you surprised by those numbers? 844-747-8868 is our toll-free number. That's 844-747-8868. I would contend that maybe this is because moms and dads are doing a better job of teaching their kids what America's all about. I find it hard to believe that our public schools are teaching our youngsters, our children, if you will, that America is exceptional. But I could be mistaken here. We'll see. So now on to the breaking news from Seattle, where we understand from our war correspondents that the invasion of CHOP, that is the Capitol Hill Odorous Pansies Zone, the invasion of CHOP is well underway. And soon the six-block radius of Seattle that had seceded from the Union will once again be reunited with the Continental 48. According to Como News, police report that some of the protesters had tipped over portable toilets in the area. Others were captured with all sorts of weapons, including pipes and a kitchen knife, a butcher knife. They've made 23 arrests so far. That was as of 7:45 Pacific time. And it looks as though the police are having a pretty easy task of securing the area. Now we have an update. As of 9:26 a.m. Pacific time, 31 people have been arrested. Charges, failure to disperse, obstruction, assault, whatever. Oh, they also had spike strips. So apparently the residents of CHOP had put out these spike strips to stop the police cars from coming in. That did not work out very well. So there you go. Bad news for all of you folks out there in the nation of CHOP. Soon you will be repatriated. Many of you who lived in that area are now residing in a nearby jail. And it's about freaking time that the police were given the okay to go in there and clean house and restore law and order. And, you know, it's probably going to take, I don't know, it's probably going to take a couple of weeks, maybe even a month, to fumigate the whole place. That's the sad part about it all. It really is. All right, 844-747-8868 is our toll-free number. That's 844-747-8868. Hey, there's a great story out of Wilson County, Tennessee. That's near Nashville. And we have this up on the website, toddstarnes.com. There is a war memorial in Lebanon, Tennessee. Caleb, do you know why Lebanon, Tennessee is so important? What's in Lebanon that makes it significant to the rest of the nation?
Unfortunately, I'm going 0 for 2 this week on pop quizzes.
Caleb, I'm very disappointed. You are a son of the South. You should know this information.
I'm from Georgia. I'm not from Tennessee.
It doesn't matter. So Lebanon, Tennessee is the home of Cracker Barrel.
Oh.
Company headquarters. The first Cracker Barrel in Lebanon, Tennessee.
I enjoy the Cracker Barrel.
Mm-hmm. Write that down. So if you're ever doing trivia there at WDUN, you'll have that answer handy.
Gotcha. We'll do.
So anyway, there is a war memorial in Lebanon, Tennessee. It may be near the Cracker Barrel. I do not know. But that's not the point here. So a group of military veterans, we're talking about Marines, decided, you know, they've been watching the news like everybody else, and they've been watching the Black Lives Matter folks topple statues and burn down monuments and burn the flag. And so these guys were sitting around and saying, you know what, we can't let anything like that happen here. And trust me, it is happening in small towns. A brief tangent here. Cleveland, Tennessee, There's been a statue in the middle of a street that has it's and it's private property in the middle of the street. This it was a Confederate memorial erected by the Daughters of the Confederacy. And they still have an active chapter of the Daughters of the Confederacy. And this statue has been around for ages. And now all of a sudden, there's a Christian university where I went to school, Lee University. And you had a bunch of staff members from Lee, faculty members. You had students at Lee who now got triggered by this statue. And so they've launched these massive campaigns to have the statue removed. And the Daughters of the Confederacy say, that's not going to happen. And believe it or not, you're talking about a town of, 50, 60,000 people where you have this huge protest over a statue. All that to say, it's happening in the small communities as well. So anyway, these guys in Lebanon, Tennessee, sitting around and they're saying, hey, wait a second, we can't let that happen here. So these Marines, again, we're talking about veterans, they decided that they were going to personally take it upon themselves to guard the war memorial. And for the past, I don't know, 5 or 6 days now, these guys have been literally camped out at the memorial, guarding this memorial. And they are armed to the teeth. I mean, it looks like the front yard of that home in St. Louis, Missouri. Good for, you know what? I think this is just a beautiful thing. That now you have American citizens doing what the Republican Party, doing what many local governments will not do, which is stand up for our monuments and stand up for American values. So I say good for these men. On the other side, it's really a sad day in America when you have to do that. The idea that that guys in a small town in the middle of Tennessee, in the Bible Belt, have to go down and have to camp out and guard a war memorial, a veterans memorial, with guns, with weapons, is ludicrous. But this is the nation we live in right now. And you know, we've been raising this issue quite a bit on this program, but where are the Republicans? Where are all of the lawmakers up on Capitol Hill? Why is there not a unified voice denouncing all of the violence and denouncing all of the culture jihad, as we call it? Where are the Republicans? Where is your lawmaker? And I'm very curious because there are not that many. I mean, Congressman Doug Collins, he's been speaking out. You've got Jody Heiss. There have been a few here and there, but by and large, most everybody's been quiet. And you know why? Because it's not politically correct. They don't want to get the protesters showing up at their front doors. They don't want to get the protesters standing on the front lawn of their home. But honestly, every Republican lawmaker up on Capitol Hill ought to be standing alongside this family in St. Louis, Missouri. They ought to be standing up for these statues. But they're not doing it. They are not doing it. Why do you think that is? What do you want to tell your Republican lawmakers? What do you want to tell the Republican Party? Because they do need to hear from you. And Lord knows we've got a lot of them that listen to this program. We have a lot of the folks at the RNC that are either on this program, they listen to this show, and they hear your voices. So what do you want to hear from your lawmakers? 844-747-8868. Our toll-free number, that's 844-747-8868. Our website is toddstearns.com, so if you can't get us on the radio, you can listen to our show live stream on toddstearns.com or Facebook. We'll be right back, folks.
You're with Todd Stearns.
All right, welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. The Black Student Union at the University of Wisconsin. They are calling for the removal of a statue honoring President Abraham Lincoln. Now, President Abraham Lincoln, if for those of you who know your American history, that would be everyone who is not a millennial. is the man who freed the slaves and reunited a fractured nation, the Emancipation Proclamation. Again, if you're a millennial, by and large, you probably don't know anything about that. So the Black Student Union, they're very upset because there's a statue of Lincoln on the campus. It's a very popular statue. It's a part of a longtime tradition. The students rub Lincoln's left shoe for good luck. The head of the Black Student Union says that that statue is a single-handed symbol of white supremacy. Now, there's a new wrinkle here, because he goes on to say, the Black Student Union president, that the reason why the statue needs to be removed, not only were the donors of the statue racist, but that while Lincoln freed the slaves, he was not pro-black. Just so you know where we're going with all of this. So we'll see how long the statue of Lincoln is still standing at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. All right, let's get to the phones. 844-747-8868. Steve in Central Arkansas, listening to us on KARN. Hi, Steve. What's on your mind today?
Todd, I've been thinking about this defund the police, and it seems like we're kind of looking at this backwards. If the police are the way our government works, tell me if I'm wrong. We elect legislators to pass laws, and then you hire police. You have police and the judicial system to enforce the laws. Well, if we don't need police, why do we need laws? Let's start at the head of the snake. This police or the tail of the snake. The head of the snake is the government and the legislators and the people we're electing into office. Let's defund the government, and I think we'll all be a whole lot better off.
Well, look, the federal government is there to provide a standing army to protect the nation from invaders. And unfortunately, over the years, the federal government has absorbed many other powers and control that they were not under our Constitution designed to have. And look, it's a big problem here. But look, we have to have law enforcement, Steve.
They also are there to protect us from ourselves. Anybody that thinks we're perfect enough people that we don't have to be held accountable for rules and laws and stuff, they're living in la-la land. We've got to be protected from ourselves, too. And, let me give you a sports analogy. You got a ball team that's bad, bad. The police or the referees? Do you fire the referees or do you fire the coaches?
Well, it's a fair question you raise, Steve. And, you know, in New York City, we're going to get into this later on in the show. But New York City, the big story nationally is that the New York City Police Department, the city council, last night after midnight, defunded the police department by over $1 billion. And Steve, if you've been watching, paying attention to the stories coming out of New York City, it is a literal war zone. People are getting shot, robberies, assaults. It's insane. And what's happened is the police do not have the ability to do their job anymore. And all you know what's breaking loose.
Oh, yeah. It's intentional. It's not just.
Oh, no doubt about that.
It's not out of just ignorance. It's intentional.
All right, Steve. Thanks for the call, and thank you for listening to KARN. Let's go to Ed. Ed's also in Arkansas. Hi, Ed. What's going on?
Well, I want to agree with you about Republicans not standing up for themselves, number one. I'm an independent, but the Democrats are trying to ruin our country, I think. For instance, it seems to me it would be against the law for me to go over to your yard and destroy something or anywhere else. Anything that I destroy outside my own property line, I think should be against the law.
Yeah, Ed, this is a fair point. And as we mentioned in the interview, those streets are not public streets in that neighborhood in St. Louis. Those were private streets, private sidewalks. As soon as they broke through that gate, they broke the law.
Amen. Yes.
Yeah, and back to the...
I'll say one other thing, too, you probably agree with me on. This man who was killed up in Minnesota, number one, the governor, the majority of the people, which is considered a, what they call a blue state, nearly everyone up there is a Democrat, and Miss Nancy Pelosi and her followers are saying blaming the Republicans for stuff like that. Why don't the Republicans stand up and say, hey, why are you blaming us?
Look, this is a fine point you bring up here, Ed, and it's an intelligent argument here. The Republicans ought to be embracing the fact that this is the political party that freed the slaves. This is the political party that fought tooth and nail for civil rights and voting rights. This is the Republicans did that, not the Democrats. And they need to point out that the Democrats stood in the way of progress, stood in the way of freedom time and time and time again. That's the argument that the Republicans ought to be making here, but they're not doing it. Ed, thank you for the telephone call. I appreciate it. And look, folks, I get, you know, every time I call out the Republicans on this, I get nasty messages from RNC headquarters saying, Todd, why are you picking on the Republicans? I'm not picking on the Republicans. We have an election to win in November. This is an election that will decide the future of this nation. And we can't screw around. And right now I see the Republicans screwing around. I see the Trump campaign, not the president, but the campaign screwing around. You say, well, Todd, what are you talking about? Have you folks noticed something very interesting that's happening? The candidates that the president endorses in some of these downstate ballots, they're losing their races. Why do you think that is? Is it possible that the people giving the president advice are, in fact, closet never Trumpers? Those people may be establishment Republicans. We had John Cardillo on our program last week warning the president that this is a dangerous, dangerous thing. And the campaign's got to get its act together. And I know yesterday they made some changes, which is a good thing. But folks, we can't screw around. We've got to fight tooth and nail for this president, but the Republicans have to work with us. And right now, the RNC, they're not doing a very good job of that. Every congressman up on Capitol Hill, every Republican senator up on Capitol Hill ought to be standing up and speaking out just as loud as the president. Our way of life is under attack here. And the Republicans better wake up, because this is not about taking care of big business. This is about taking care of mom and pop businesses. This is about taking care of the average working Joe in this country. And you know, and again, this is the dirty secret. We all know that the Republicans in their heart of hearts are more prone to embrace big business and turn their back to the American working man. We can't let that happen. We just can't do it. All right, Ted Nugent coming up, 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Show.